baptizing the pulpit here. So,
all right. Let's turn tonight to the book of Genesis, to the 12th chapter. And let's read verse 1 and 2 and 3. My subject tonight is faith in two dimensions. Faith in two dimensions. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Faith in two dimensions. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. It was Abraham that experienced God in a great dimension. When the Lord asked him to worship him in a very personal and costly manner. God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him to me on an altar that I will tell thee of. And so we have preached numerous times how God took or led Abram to a place called Moriah, and he so willingly went to the mountain and prepared his son as a sacrifice and was very willing, had the knife in his hand and ready to take the life of his precious son, believing that God was somehow going to provide a miracle, and God did. Hallelujah. Amen. And you remember how the Lord spoke out of heaven and said, don't spare your son. And then he heard the bleeding of the ram that was caught by his horns in the bush. And he said, there's a sacrifice. And the Lord provided a sacrifice. And he took that sacrifice and he called that place Jehovah Jireh. He said, God will provide. I want you to know tonight, the first dimension of faith is that God will provide for us. You can have great confidence in that. You can know that. You can go through life with the assurance that God will provide. Amen. That's one of the first things that He will teach us if we will follow Him and live according to His principles and the things that He tells us. Amen. And God will provide. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I can't help but say it tonight. Pardon me, but you know, if God provides, you need to use wisely what He provides. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If God provides you car payment, don't go blow it on something else. If you're praying for God to help you to catch up on your tithes and He gives it to you, don't squander on something else. Amen. So you do what the Lord tells you to. And that's good stuff. I don't know if you know that, but we need to hear that in this generation. Amen. God will provide, but you take care of business when He provides. Amen. I've known people that God provided and then they took what God provided and misspent it and then wanted another help and God said, done that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God does provide, but we need to honor Him in the right fashion and the right principle when God provides. Amen. And so there was a man in the Bible, and he just appears suddenly. He just walks into history with a strong step and a strong voice. He just walks one day into the palace of the king, and he says, "It ain't going to rain till I say so." That's the first time we ever hear of Elisha or Elijah. He just walks in and just out of nowhere. Well, actually, he was really from the sticks. You think Athens is the sticks, maybe. This ain't sticks. The Bible says he was from beyond Jordan. He was from the other side. He was from a place called Tisbe. That's why they called him the Tishbite. And he came and he just walks in and he says, "It's not going to rain until I get back here and tell you it's going to rain." And then he just walked out. Well, somebody did that around here. We probably wouldn't think too much about it. Think, well, that's an odd character. Very strange. But you know what? A month later, there wasn't even a cloud. 2 and 3 months and a year passed and no rain. He made believers out of them. And then another year passed and another year passed. And they were getting real concerned. And they believed then, and they searched high and low for Elijah. But God told Elijah, He said, "I'm going to provide for you." He said, "I want you to go back home to the brook Cherith, and I want you just to stay there, drink the good water from the brook." And He said, "I'm going to send birds to feed you." Now that was an odd plan, wasn't it? Amen. But he did. I've always thought, what a very unusual way to feed somebody. But he'd sent birds. In the morning, they'd bring food to Elijah. Wow, that's so neat. He had food flown in fresh every day. These big time celebrities, they don't have anything on Elijah. He had his food flown in every day, morning and afternoon. Amen. Here they come. He's flying in there. I don't know if it's caviar or what it was. He just ate, and then every day. And then what he had done, and the drought actually began to affect him. You see, God does not always exempt us from troubles. But even if God allows trouble to touch your life, He will provide for you. God had another plan. Now, this is where we get to the second dimension. The first dimension of faith is that God will provide for you. The second dimension of faith is God will provide you to bless someone else. A lot of people live in the first dimension. They live in the Bless Me Club. And their prayers are always about, "God, bless me." And that's good. That's the first dimension of faith. But the second dimension of faith is what the Lord spoke to Abraham. He didn't just say, "I will bless you," but he said, "I will make you a great nation." And then he said, "In you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed." He said, "I am blessing you for a reason, because I want you then to be a blessing. I want to bless you in one dimension so then you can step into the second dimension and you can become a blessing to someone else." Amen. We live in a generation, it's called it was called the me generation. In the 80s especially, it was the me generation. And we hadn't got too far from there still. But it's not unusual. People have always kind of been hung up on themselves. Hallelujah. That's just the truth. We might as well grin and bear it here today. Amen. Because it's just true. Amen. Amen. We kind of look out for ourselves. You know, if you're a person that stays discouraged all the time, you know why you get discouraged all the time? Because you think about yourself too much. That's right. When you're always thinking about you, you will always be discouraged. Because the world does not revolve around you. Amen. And God, really, He loves you, but He wants you to grow up. He doesn't want to just bless you so much that He spoils you rotten. Amen. But He wants to bless you so that you, in turn, can be a blessing. He wants to bless you in the first dimension of faith so that you can step into the second dimension of faith. You can mature and you can become a blessing. Amen. Praise God. Once you learn the first dimension very well, you can live in the second dimension knowing surely that God's just going to take care of you. If you make up your mind, you're going to help others. Glory. Yeah. Praise the Lord. My. I could really preach a little bit here tonight if I just let go. Woo! Well, I'm gonna refrain from some things because what was it Jesus said? He said, I'm not sure you're ready to receive that yet. Praise the Lord. And so that's the second dimension. And that's what the Lord said to Elijah. When the brook dried up and the food didn't fly in, the Lord already had another plan. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 9. The Lord said, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. It was a Phoenician village. Though it was in Israel, they had never conquered it. The people that lived there were Canaanites. They were Gentiles. And it belonged to Israel, but they had never been able to drive those people out or conquer them. As a matter of fact, that was the hometown I read, the hometown of Jezebel. And so he said, I want you to go to Jezebel town. What a place. Now, I want you to get this. God's got good folks everywhere. Amen. He said, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Zion, and dwell there. Behold, and here's the key, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The Lord had already spoken to somebody before he ever got there to take care of him. That's why it's not rude what he said when he got there. It seems a little rude if you just read it without first getting the idea that God had already spoken to somebody. The Lord had already taken care of the situation. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, now get this, the widow woman, not just a widow woman, not just anybody, but the first person he saw when he got there was the woman that the Lord had spoken to. Praise the Lord. How's that for God working? I mean, that's the first one he ran into. And she was out there, the Bible said, she was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So the first thing he did was he said, Would you please get me a drink of water? Now, I want you to see this. The Bible said, as she was going to fetch it. You see, she was obedient, wasn't she? As soon as she heard, I don't know how this all came about. I don't know if it dawned on her that's who the Lord was talking about. I don't know any of the details, but I just know that he said, get me some water, and she took off to get him some water. She was being very obedient. And And then he stepped into another dimension. And he said, and if you would, he said, just bring me just a morsel of bread. Well, that hit a sore spot right there. God ever touch your sore spot? If he hadn't, he will. He knows right where it is. Do you ever think, you know, you got everything under control and all of a sudden you fly off the handle? Brother Holly told us years ago a real important story that stuck with me all these years. That there was a this crow, and he found a plow with handles, and it was right under a plum tree. And he flew over there, and he could reach those dried plums, or prunes as it were, and he was eating, and he just ate till he got so full that when he tried to fly away, he jumped off the handle, and he just hit the ground and just splattered everywhere. Now, that's an odd story, but the moral is, don't fly off the handle when you're full of prunes. So that was a great lesson to learn. Amen. I've always remembered that story. Don't fly off the handle when you're full of prunes. But God knows right where your sore spot is. And just when you think you got it under control, He'll touch that little buddy, and you'll get real sensitive, and you'll lash out, and He'll say, uh-uh. You hadn't got that under control yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you do, kind of, don't say amen, but just kind of do like this, just a little bit. You know, just enough. Nobody can really tell but me. So Elijah then calls out and he says, hey, by the way, you just bring me just a little bit of bread when you come back. Well, this is when she said, she said to him, she said, I, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake. She said, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks. That's not much faith, is it? But it's enough. Two sticks, and I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now I want you to know and remember, God spoke to this woman, didn't He? He said, I'm going to be sending a prophet down there. And He said, I want you to take care of him. I want you, he's going to dwell where you dwell, and I want you to feed him. I want you to take care of him. And she probably thought, why me, Lord? Amen. Why me? Look, this is all I've got. Well, that's exactly why He sent the prophet. Amen. He sent the prophet there to save that little lady and her son. But He required something of her. Just a little faith. Now, listen to what Elijah said to the woman. He said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. In other words, go ahead and make your son and yourself a little cake. He said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Everybody say first. Seek ye what? First. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So He said, you do it first for me. Amen. And that's why the tithing is the first fruit. Amen. And then God takes care of the rest. Amen. Anybody ever seen that happen before? Amen. He has a way to take. We take care of God. God takes care of us. We bless Him and He blesses us. Amen. And then He takes us into that second dimension. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he said, don't be afraid. He said, you make me one verse. Listen very closely. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, he's not in Israel. He's in Zidon. He's in Gentile territory. He's in a Gentile stronghold. He's in Jezebel town. But he says, but the Lord God of Israel, that she knew because that's the same God that spoke to her. And he said, this, for the Lord God of Israel says, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. He said, you just go ahead and do what I said. And she did do that. She somehow confirmed to her, I know the Lord has said for me to do this. It's not going to be real easy for me to do this, but I'm going to do it. So she got that little bit of meal and that little bit of oil, and she mixed it together and she put it on the fire and made a tortilla or whatever it was. Amen. And took it and gave it to Elijah. And he ate that, and all of a sudden the cruse started gurgling and went over there, and God done drilled an oil well right there in the middle of the barrel. Oil started coming up. She heard some scratching over in the meal barrel and looked inside, and there was meal in the barrel. Amen. And you know what? It happened that way until the rain came and the crops came, and there was another way to provide. God provided miraculously. God provided miraculously. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God used Elijah in the second dimension. And the second dimension was to bring salvation to that little widow and her son. Now this begs a question. And Jesus said this over in the book of Luke. It wasn't because there were not widows in Israel. But I don't know. Do you suppose that maybe the Lord had spoken to those widows and they just wouldn't do what He asked? Wasn't because there wasn't some great needs in Israel. There were. The same famine that touched Zidon touched all of Israel. There were hungry widows in Israel. There may have been folks that literally starved to death in Israel. But you see, had God spoken and they had not heard? Sometimes God speaks to the household of faith, but He can't find anybody that'll respond to Him. He can't find anybody that'll listen and obey. So He just keeps looking until He finds somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God found somebody in a Gentile city. God found the Gentile woman that would listen and obey. And God used that little widow lady to provide for His prophet. And blessing came upon her house and stayed upon her house the rest of her life. Amen. Praise God. And so God moves us into that second dimension so that He can use us to bless others. Amen. But there are some things that we can do that can hinder God. We can get ourselves into a situation where we consume all of our prayer time on ourselves. We live from one crisis to the next crisis. And we never have anything left over for anybody else. Hello? Is that possible? Amen. Let me ask you, when you're praying, how much do you pray for others? Amen. Do you have enough? Or does all the water that you possibly get in your cistern go to you? That's a difference in a cistern and a well. Amen. If you just dig a cistern to hoard some blessings in, There's a time in the drought it's going to run dry. But Jesus didn't say, it shall be in you a cistern, but He said, it shall be in you a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. God doesn't want to give you just enough for you to make it from Wednesday till Sunday and Sunday till Wednesday. Amen. But God wants to give you enough that you'll splash all over somebody on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Amen. And anybody that gets around you is going to get exposed to the contagion of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if we get ourselves under such a burden with our own cares, amen, that we don't have anything left for others. Now you got your seatbelt buckled? Amen. And we can do the same thing in the financial realm. I believe God wants to bless His people. I do. Now, I'm not a blab it and grab it kind of guy. Amen. I don't necessarily believe that God wants you to have air-conditioned dog houses. I don't think He cares whether you got gold faucets in your house or not. I don't think He cares whether you drive a Volkswagen or a Rolls Royce. But God does want to bless His people. But here's one of our problems. Sometimes when God blesses us, we use it all on us. God can't trust some of us with a blessing. Well, Brother Grisham, when I win the lottery, what are you doing playing the lottery? Yeah. Amen. When I win the winner's, what is it, Reader's Digest sweepstakes? When I win this or I win that and I get this and I get that. No. Mm-mm. If you won't do it now, you won't do it then. If God can't trust you with a little, He sure can't trust you with a lot. And so some of us never get into the second dimension because we have to expend everything on ourselves. Amen. But God's looking for a church full of second dimension folks. God's looking for some folks that when it's time to give a missionary offering, amen, they say, well, you know what? I was going to buy this or that, but I don't really need that. Amen. If I can get the gospel to that country and I can be a blessing to this missionary, that'll do me a whole lot better than a new pair of shoes. That'll do me a whole lot better than a new dress. Amen. I'll just stay off of eBay for a few days. Amen. I'll get off of Craigslist and not get all my wants stirred up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll stop looking at Wooten and buying things I don't really need anyway. Thank all two of you. Amen. There was a third. Come on. We're getting it going now. Hallelujah. God wants to send us to the second dimension of faith so that we can be a blessing. Amen. Now folks, I'm not going to preach this if I don't live this. Amen. Because I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't proven. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it works. Amen. I started out nearly 40 years ago and I would weep because I would want to give, but I had almost nothing to give, but I did give what I had. Amen. I would give the little bit that I had and pray, God, if you'll ever bless me, I'll do better. And I want you to know I kept that promise. When God gave me more, I gave more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I thank God that He'll keep blessing if He'll just keep using what He gives you to bless somebody else. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, I just have such a hard time. Well, pray through. Get beyond yourself. Hello. Oh, I don't know if I ought to preach this or not, but I'm already there now. Amen. If you keep getting your feelings hurt, you need to pray through your feelings. You need to understand this is not about you. You know, they talked about Jesus real bad, but I never read one place where He got His feelings hurt. Not one place. Amen. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. That should have hurt His feelings. He should have said, well, if you're going to treat me like that, I'm just going back to glory. Forget you. That's what He would have said if He was thinking about Himself. But He said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. The Son of Man came, He said, to lay down His life, a ransom for many. He wasn't concerned about Himself. He was concerned about others. And when we can get beyond ourselves and think about others, we can live in a second dimension where there's blessing and there's power and the glory of God can rest upon us. Amen. That's what the apostles did, wasn't it? You know what? I think they were telling the truth when they went into that synagogue that day and the guy was under the temple and the guy was sitting there and said, silver and gold have I none. Amen. I think they're telling the truth. Of course, we don't have any silver and gold anyway. We've got greenbacks. Maybe. But he goes in and I think they're just really telling the guy why the way it was. I don't have much of that stuff. But said, I've got something else. You see, that's the second dimension right there. When you realize, you know, I can't do much there, but this is what I can do. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't give you much to buy some bread, but I tell you what, I can get you back on your feet where you can go on your own, earn your own bread. Hallelujah. We can put some strength in those ankle bones. Amen. And we can let you walk so you can work and you can take care of yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's good. God's good. Amen. And I think He's calling us to that second dimension. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where we will learn to live in thanksgiving and praise to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And yes, your feelings are going to get hurt, but you just got to say, you know, Lord, that's not really important. It doesn't really matter what people say. Amen. It really doesn't matter. If it's true, I'll work on it and I'll get better. If it's not true, what difference does it make anyway? Amen. Amen. But what about my reputation? You take care of your character and God will take care of your reputation. I said, you take care of your character and God will take care of your reputation. Amen. And so Jesus, they said all kinds of things about Him. Mary had a little baby boy and she wasn't married yet. Do you suppose they talked about her? Jesus grew up with a stigma on His life. From the day of His birth, they talked about Him and gossiped. Wasn't anything new. Amen. He grew up in that kind of a situation. So yes, He endured a lot of things. And if He endured, we can endure also. God is calling us to that second dimension. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said? Amen. Matthew 28:19. He said, go ye therefore. Why is the therefore there? It's there because it said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And since I have all power, he said, I want you to go. Amen. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He said, go. Go. Praise the Lord. Mark recorded it this way. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then the Bible said that they went. I love that verse. Jesus said, go, and they went. Jesus said, preach, and they preached. He said, preach to every creature. The Bible said they preached everywhere. And then it says, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs, following. Amen. You know, I think more, we'll see more signs and we'll see more wonders. Amen. When we step out where there's need and there's hurt and there's want. Amen. All he's saying is, if you'll go like Elijah went to Zarephath, I'll go with you. Amen. And I'll supply the needs. Amen. God's just looking for folks that'll take an opportunity to go and be a blessing. I have a friend up in Dallas area in Frisco, Texas. His name's Brother Danny Lunsford. If you ever see him on Facebook, he always ends his little comment with, go be a blessing. It doesn't matter what else he says. At the end, he's going to say, go be a blessing. Amen. And that just, he lives in the second dimension, folks. He's interested in being a blessing. He's interested in being a blessing. Amen. And Luke recorded it like this. Thus it's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Are we witnesses of the resurrection? You better believe it. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. I wasn't there in Jerusalem to see the empty. Well, I did. I saw an empty tomb. I don't know if it was the right one, but it was empty. Praise the Lord. But you know how I know the resurrection's real? Because I died with Him in repentance, and I resurrected in the power of the Holy Ghost after being buried in the waters of baptism. So I know it's real today. Praise God. So we're witnesses of the resurrection, are we not? Amen. We don't preach a Christ that we heard about. We have a know-so salvation. We have an experience with God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, you're witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Well, we didn't get it in Jerusalem, but that doesn't matter. I got it in Amarillo. Some of you got it in Athens. However else you got it, it really doesn't matter. You just got it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It started in Jerusalem, and then it went out to all of the world. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 20, he said, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Amen. Praise God. That's Acts 2:38 all over again. It was a prophetic sense when he breathed on them. Amen. And he said prophetically, receive you the Holy Ghost. Amen. He'd already told them to go to Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, they did receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he said, and remit sins. How can we remit sins? There's only one way. And that's through the name of Jesus Christ. But we know that name. We have that knowledge. We know what to do to remit people's sins. And we owe it to every soul in Athens, Texas, and Henderson County, in the state of Texas, in the nation of the United States of America, amen, and to all the world, to preach the name of Jesus Christ and remission of sins in the waters of baptism. Amen. That's our obligation. Hallelujah. Amen. And then finally, Jesus said to them, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be martyrs." That's what the word is. Martyrs. Witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And did they do that, or did they do that? Amen. They got hung up a little bit in Jerusalem. You know how it is. When you're really having revival, who wants to leave? You're in the middle of a move of God. Who wants to leave that? But God's got a cure. You know, I was talking about that little button He knows how to push. He sent persecution right smack in Jerusalem. And did they ever scatter? Amen. And then they went out to Judea. Praise the Lord. It was really tough to get Peter to ever preach to a Gentile. But he finally convinced him. Took 3 visions. Amen. To get his attention. And then a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. But when he finally went to Cornelius' house and began to preach this message, they said, historians say it was about 12 years after the Holy Ghost had been poured out. So it took them a while too, folks. You know, so if it takes us a little while to get going, don't worry too much. We hadn't had 12 years yet. But we don't wait 12 years either. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it took a little while to get the message really out there. Amen. But they finally did. In Antioch, folks got to saying, "You know what? Let's just go to preach to some Gentiles today." And they did. And guess what? They received the gospel. Hallelujah. And the next thing you know, the church in Antioch was full of Gentiles. Amen. And the next thing you know, Gentiles started coming in every church. Woo! Boy, that was tough on Jews. Jews and Gentiles were like oil and water. They didn't mix. But the Holy Ghost can mix things that the world can't mix. Amen. Praise God. And here's another question. You know, one thing that can hinder revival is if we start choosing the church. We start deciding who's qualified to be here and who's not. Huh? Amen. They got to be the right color. And they got to speak the right language. And they got to have the right kind of job. And they got to have the right kind of pedigree. And they got to have the right kind of reputation. Amen. And so we start choosing the church. And when we do that, we get in trouble. Amen. But if we'll let the Lord send them and we will receive them, then He'll say, "Hey, there's another Antioch." Amen. There's a church that'll receive people. I'll send some more over there. Praise God. Hey, they take care of folks. I'm going to send some more their direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how God can bless a church. He sends us a little revival and He sees how we're going to handle that. And then if we'll handle that and take care of what He gave us, He'll say, "All right, let's do that again." And the next thing you know, we can have a great revival. Amen. But we got to move into that second dimension. I'm inviting you tonight. Let's move into the second dimension. Amen. What's that little chorus we sing? Let's forget about ourselves. That's the very first step. Let's forget about ourselves. Amen. When we do that, that's how you start stepping into the second dimension. As long as you keep thinking about yourself, you'll never get there. But if you'll forget yourself, and you'll step in that next dimension. Well, Brother Grissom, who's going to take care of me? Well, how good a job have you done all these years? Don't you think it might be about time just to go ahead and surrender and let Him take care of you? I believe He can do a better job than you can. Amen. So just step into that second dimension, leaving self behind. Amen. And as God begins to bless you, don't hold on to it. Share it. Amen. Step out. Begin to share it. And as you begin to share it, then God will begin to pour more on. Hallelujah. And you'll start glowing. Yeah. God told me when I have a little well house out in West Texas, and He told me, if you'll put a light bulb in there, He said it'll and that's all you'll need in the wintertime. It'll never freeze as long as you just got a little 100-watt light bulb. So I'm not an electrician. So I wired that buddy up, and I screwed that light bulb in, and I plugged it in, and that's the brightest 100-watt light bulb I ever saw in my life. I wired it 220 and one instead of 110, and buddy, it was glowing. It evermore shone. It was putting out some light. Didn't last long, but boy, it shined while it could. It evermore did shine. Amen. Hey, you know what? I don't have to shine for a long time. That's not my goal. Amen. Lord, just let me, just hook me up 220. If I don't shine long, that's all right. But just let me shine. Amen. I don't want to be a dull light. I want to be a bright light. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to really shine. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want one of those 20 watt jobs. 40. Amen. I want to be a 220. Amen. Hook me up and let me shine. However long I last, that's all right. As long as I'm shining. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together. I want to welcome you to the second dimension of faith. Amen. The first dimension, that's where it's bless me, Lord, and God will provide for me. Amen. But I want to step into that dimension where the Lord just simply provides me. Amen. And He says, I need somebody to go. And I get the spirit of the repentant Elisha, Isaiah, and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I asked the Lord years ago, I'll never forget it. I was over here on South 19. There's a two-story house over there, and my uncle and I were painting it, and I was up there scraping paint. It was hot summertime, up there scraping. And while I was scraping, I was praying, and I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, send me somewhere that nobody else wants to go. He heard that prayer. And He did. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what? I'd pray it again. I never took it back. Amen. I used to hear guys say, you know, God, one guy, and he really meant it. He wasn't serious. He wasn't joking. He said, God just called me to big churches. Amen. Amen. Maybe so, I don't know. Amen. But But when I said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I meant it then, I mean it now. If he changes my direction tomorrow, I'll be gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to do whatever He wants me to do, be wherever He asks me to go. Amen. Some of you praying He will, some praying maybe He won't. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm here until. Amen. Here until. Praise the Lord. But I really mean it. Amen. I want to live in that second dimension. How about you? How about you? Anybody want to step into the second dimension tonight? Amen. Some of you already live there. I know you already live there. I see it in your life and your witness. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I appreciate all of those that are living in that realm tonight. Thank you for being a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'd like to invite everybody tonight to just step out if you'd like to live in the second dimension and just come and tell the Lord for a few moments, Jesus, I want to walk in the second dimension. I've enjoyed the first. I'm so thankful that you have promised to provide for me. But now, Jesus, I'm praying that you will just simply use me, my life, my witness, my work, my talents, gifts, and abilities, my heart, my feet, my hands, my mind, my mouth. Use me, O Lord. I surrender. I offer. I bring myself tonight as an offering, Lord. Amen. Everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I will ever have or ever be, I want to give it to you sincerely. 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 Forgive me, Lord, for anything I hold in reserve. You are the center. Forgive me, Lord, for anything that I hold in reserve. I don't want to hold out on you.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy.
Let me just give it to you and see what you can do with it.
All that's good and perfect.
I want to give you the bad stuff. I want to give you the good stuff.
You are the whole.
I want to give you the worthy stuff. I want to give you the unworthy stuff. Everything that I have, everything that I am, take me, use me, make me. You said to your disciples, you said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You took coarse fishermen and made them the apostles of the church. Hallelujah. And if you can do that for Peter and James and John, you can do it for us. You can take the hatred of a Pharisee and put a heart of love in Saul of Tarsus. He becomes Paul the Apostle.
Hallelujah.
Do it here tonight. If you can take Amos the fig picker and make him the prophet, you can take what I have to offer. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Here's my offering. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are the hope of my salvation. Help for all I do. Jesus, you are
the hope. Oh, yes.
Of my joy.
Yes. Hallelujah.
All that's good and perfect comes from you. You are the hope of my salvation. Help for all I do. Jesus, you
You're
are the center of my
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You are the hope of my salvation.
Help for all I do. My joy.
Yes, you are.
Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
All that's good and perfect comes from you.
You are the heart of my
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God called a man to missions. He came from one of the wealthiest families in North America. He called the lawyers together, drew up the papers, and he gave away his entire fortune, everything that he had. And he wrote in his Bible, no reserves. Got on a ship, bought a one-way ticket, got on a ship, and when he landed in China, he wrote in his Bible, he said, no return. Before he ever was able to preach a sermon, he fell ill. Hospitalized, struggled a short time. And right before he died, he wrote one more thing. He wrote in his Bible, no regrets.
Thank you, Jesus.
No regrets. That's what happens when you just give it all to God.
Amen.
I know it doesn't seem fair. Why would that happen? I don't know why that would happen. I don't know why that would happen. He was so willing. But the main thing, he understood that I've done everything that I can do. And if God chooses just to take me home, I have no regrets. Amen. If we could live life like that, amen. Come to the end and say, I don't have any regrets. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Thank you tonight. Let's strive for the second dimension.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Sunday morning. Bring somebody with you. Amen. And we'll have a great weekend. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
been faithful in
Thank you.
As soon as I hit her, I ran out and almost slipped and fell. It's gonna be slippery outside. Are you going to eat anywhere?
Nope.
Yeah. Remind me the hunt. Well, I learned, like, a couple more. Like, listen. You have fairly spoken.
Don't lie. It's on.
What? Apple.
Keep that value.